Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today, is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 24. These are Jesus' words that are spoken during Holy Week, just shortly before his crucifixion, and he speaks them from the Mount of Olives. So sometimes this speech is called the Olivet Discourse. This week, we begin a new season, and really, the subject is similar to the way we ended the last season, the last church year. We're still waiting for the King to come, and we don't know when that day is going to be, and Jesus makes that abundantly clear in this passage. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for today's sermon, I felt compelled to go back into my files and pull out something that I had already preached right here in this pulpit about 11 months ago or so. And don't worry, it's not that I've just decided that I'm just going to give you a recycled sermon today. You know, Pastor Wallenberg had way too much fun over Thanksgiving break. He's just phoning it in this morning. That's not what's going on. I'm not feeling that lazy today. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to take you back in time, all the way back to January 13th of this year. We were at that time celebrating the season of Epiphany. That particular day was all about the baptism of our Lord. And when I was preaching the sermon that day, I was making the point that when you hear the voice of the Father on the day of Jesus' baptism say, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased," it's like in that moment, heaven is opened up. It's like a roadway to heaven is completely open for all of us. And it was kind of ironic at the time, because just about a week and a half before I preached that sermon, there was a road that was closed to all of us. That was right when the Crooked Creek Bridge had been closed. And that was all anybody was talking about at that time. And I remember listening to these conversations all week long, and I said, somehow in the sermon, I've got to capture the spirit of the conversations that I'm hearing all around me. And so this is the way I began the sermon that day. And I quote, 322 days. That's how much longer the Crooked Creek Bridge on 161 between Hoffman and Centralia is estimated to be closed. 322 more days. Of course, I say that knowing that it very well could be longer than that. These kinds of projects have a way of getting delayed sometimes. And then later I said, we don't like to be inconvenienced. We don't like it when any road is closed to us, especially the road that leads to holy and sacred places like Walmart and McDonald's and Sonic. So, Pastor Wallenberg with his bad jokes. But bad jokes aside, what that reveals about myself and about some of the other people that I was having conversations with at the time is that now, looking at it from our perspective today, we were wrong. We were all wrong. And I don't know if we just chalk it up to fear or worry or maybe just a general cynical view of road construction projects. I don't know. But we were wrong. And this Thanksgiving weekend, we all had something extra to be thankful for, right? Not only did the bridge get completed on time, but it opened a couple days early. Hallelujah! The Lord is with us! And maybe that wasn't the result that we were expecting. But hey, we'll take it, right? It means that we don't have to drive on those back roads as much anymore, right? It means we can give all those roads a rest, that heavy traffic on Noltings Road and on Sassafras. You know, a few of us have been calling it the Unverfurt Superhighway this last year. And I think all of our shocks and our struts in our cars will appreciate getting a rest too from all those bumpy roads back there. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Those are the words that begin this reading that we had today from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. This is the first thing we hear Jesus say. And of course, when he's talking about the day and the hour, he's talking about the day and hour of his return to earth. He's talking about the day and the hour when he will come to restore this creation, where everything that is broken will be restored for good. He's talking about the day when we will no longer have to travel on these spiritual back roads, if you will. Right? All of these roads that are kind of rough, kind of bumpy, kind of narrow, maybe a little dangerous, maybe it's a little hard to navigate, right? Because of our sin. The bridge to the new creation will be constructed on that day, built on the foundation of the cross of Christ and the glorious resurrection on Easter, and of course, the glorious return of the Lord. And yes, I'm going to just milk this analogy for all that it's worth. But the analogy breaks down, just like most of them do at some point. And in this case, it breaks down when you consider the fact that we don't even have an estimated time for when the Lord will return, when this heavenly construction project will be complete. God's DOT has not given us a time when we should expect that these things will happen. In fact, not only do we not know, but the angels don't know. And Christ says right here that according to his human nature, at the time when he was preaching these words to the disciples, even he didn't know when that day would come. Part of the promise of the last day all throughout Scripture is that it will be a surprise. All of our human attempts at figuring it out, all of the projections and the predictions that have happened over the last 2,000 years have all been embarrassingly wrong. If we would just simply listen to what Jesus tells us here, we would consider our vocation as his followers to not be trying to figure out exactly when it's going to happen, but to simply realize that we are called to be ready, no matter what, no matter when. And this is one of the reasons why the season of Advent is such an important, such a helpful season for all of us. Because Advent is all about being prepared. Here we are, it's the first day of December. We've got the Advent wreath up here. We've got the Christmas trees behind me in the chancel. And for the next 4 weeks, most of us will have basically one thing on our minds. What still needs to be done in order to be ready for Christmas? And, you know, this is a time of the year when most of us have a lot of extra responsibilities, a lot of extra things that just get thrown onto the calendar. Maybe you've got different, you know, gatherings and parties that you need to prepare for. Maybe not just attending, but maybe you're cooking. Maybe you're baking for some of these things. Maybe you're the one that's hosting the party, so you got to make sure your house is tidied up. You got to make sure that you've got all the decorations out, all of that good stuff. And that's not even to mention all the shopping that gets done during this month, unless you've already taken care of it over this past weekend. Around here at church, we've got all kinds of extra events and things too. We've got extra worship services. We are preparing for children's programs. We are preparing for Christmas choral concerts. We've got all this wonderful stuff that helps us to prepare for the day of Christmas. Advent is a season of hopeful anticipation, of preparation, of getting ready and staying ready and counting down the days until the big day. Until the big hour finally arrives. But Advent is not just about that first coming of Jesus at Christmas. We don't just look backwards during Advent. We also look forward to the second coming as well. And we don't really prepare for the second coming the same way that we would prepare for the celebration of the first coming, right? Can you imagine? Just bear with me for a second. Can you imagine just for a second what it would be like if you didn't know the day or the hour of Christmas? If you didn't know when it was going to be celebrated? What if all of a sudden, all of us in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod decided, you know what, we're not going to celebrate Christmas on December 25th anymore. That's just getting old. Instead, here's what we'll do. We'll have the president of the Synod draw a date out of the hat at the beginning of the year. And we'll all patiently and anxiously await the announcement of that date. And then all of a sudden, when you least expect it, maybe it's like August 2nd or something, we all get a big phone call or an email that says, "Surprise! Today's the day! Merry Christmas! Christ is born!" What would our preparations look like then? How would our lives be different? Would it mean that you would have to make sure that you had a gift wrapped and ready to go every single day of the year for all your loved ones? Would it mean that you would maybe be a little bit more hesitant about long-range planning or going out of town, things like that? Would that just be so stressful that you wouldn't even want to bother celebrating Christmas anymore because you just wouldn't know when? You'd have to drop everything in order to celebrate? Don't worry, I'm not planning on submitting that as a resolution at the next convention or something like that. But I think it's really helpful, and we can see how obvious that it's helpful to have a fixed date every year to celebrate Christmas, right? And so we can prepare the same way during this season of Advent every single year. But Jesus is teaching us, and he's reminding us today right here, that we will never have that same luxury when it comes to the last day. We will never know when that day is coming. The only thing we know for sure is that it is coming, right? We know that the last day is inevitable. Scripture is very clear in its promises about that. We know that the day is coming. In fact, we can see the signs of the end all around us all the time. And because we know that it's coming for sure, that means it would be pretty foolish of us to be caught unprepared when that day finally arrives, even though we don't know exactly when the day is. It makes me think of, you know, some of our confirmation students, right? Especially our eighth grade confirmands. For example, they know that they are going to have to go through the public examination in the spring. They know that. Now, when you're standing here on December 1st, it sounds like April is a long way off, right? But if you know that that day is coming, then you better keep watch, pay attention, you know, actually learn the things that I'm teaching now, because you know that eventually you will have to stand in front of everybody and you will have to give an account on that day of all the things that you've learned. Now, the good news for us is that life is not like confirmation class, okay? It's not up to you, it's not up to me to try to prepare for that day all on our own. Instead, it's Jesus. It's Jesus himself who does everything necessary in order to get us prepared for the last day, for that day, and for that hour, whenever the day and hour happens to come. And he does this for us by nature of his amazing gift of faith alone. My friends, you and I have been covered already with the righteousness of Jesus' blood. We have been bought, we have been redeemed, our sins have been paid for, they have been covered by Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more that needs to be done to prepare us to have a place in God's heavenly kingdom. Nothing at all. It's already done. You are already prepared because you belong to Jesus. You are already prepared because you have heard the gospel, you have believed it. You are already prepared because your sins have been washed clean in the waters of holy baptism. You are already prepared because you have received the body and blood of Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. When the great and glorious day of the Lord comes, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and the trumpet will sound and every eye will see him returning in the clouds, when that day comes, it's going to be a surprise. But just like that bridge opening up a couple days early, it's going to be a very pleasant and welcome surprise for all of us believers who have been waiting in joyful expectation every single day of our lives. Our joyful expectation of that day will never end in disappointment. And not only will Jesus' second coming be up to our expectations, but it will go even beyond our expectations, because all of the rough roads in our life will be made smooth. All of the deteriorating and decay foundations of sin in this world will be restored. And the new bridge, the one that goes to the heavenly realms, will make us to ascend much higher than just an extra 7 feet up in the air. But this bridge will help us to ascend to the place where Jesus already ascended, where he went to be at the right hand of the Father. We will be before his throne. We will be in his presence. We will dwell forever there in peace, where there is no more death, where there is no more sin, and there's definitely no more road construction. And so we all say our Advent prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.